I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and gives me songs through my depression. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, and let's read our verse, which is our text, which is verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. We looked at mercy. We looked at grace. Tonight we're going to look at long-suffering. We're going to do a word study on long-suffering, which means patience. The long-suffering, the patience of our Lord. Through these attributes that our Lord has given us in His Word, attributes that describe His character and describe His ways and describe His desires, through all of these things, we know more and more of Him. We are going to spend eternity getting to know Him. You get to know somebody. And we're going to see Him, and we're going to hear Him, and we're going to learn of Him, and we're going to get to know Him. And we start that through the attributes that He's given to us in His Word. We are going to see the fact that He is patient. He's patient. This is something that will strike us forever. He's so patient. So patient. He's merciful, He's gracious, and He's patient. Turn with me to the back of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm your brother in the patience of Jesus Christ. It's the patience of Jesus Christ. All right, now go with me to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 5 says, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. The God of patience. The God of patience. So this describes to us a little bit more of what He's like. He is patient. He's not just very patient. He's not just extremely patient. He's the God of patience. He's the God of patience. There is no patience like His patience. And we're going to see this is really good news. There is no patience like His patience. He's the God of patience. He controls patience and He gives patience. Now, I thought about quoting a lot of this to you tonight. We've been doing these word studies and studying the verses in the scripture and turning a lot lately, and I thought I would give you a break. But to me, the enjoyment of the study is reading it with my own two eyes. So if that's you, turn with me to 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3. Verse 15 says, "And account that the long suffering of our Lord, the patience of our Lord, is salvation." The patience of the Lord is a sinner's salvation. That is a sinner's salvation. I want us to see that in three ways tonight. And I hope this will help us understand a little bit more of about his patience, why he is so patient. And I hope it'll be a blessing to our hearts. I hope we will honestly learn something, and I hope we'll be blessed by it, truly blessed, and have a greater appreciation for his patience. The first way that we can see our Lord's patience is salvation is right here in this chapter, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." He's patient toward usward, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's not slack. He's not being lazy. He's not putting it off. He's not slack, not in any way. He's being long-suffering to usward, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The usward are those that he said he was writing to in 1 Peter chapter 1. You can look or listen. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, he says he is writing to the strangers scattered throughout. Strangers scattered throughout. Verse 2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God." That's who he said he was writing to. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." That's the us word. That's who the us word is. And he said that he is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. We are constantly wanting God to move now. We always want the Lord to move right now. Right now. David said in Psalm 13, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" How long? He said in Psalm 74, "How long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever?" He said in Psalm 89, "Wilt thou hide thyself forever?" He said in Psalm 94, "How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" How long, Lord, how long? We see the wickedness of sinful men and women, and just like James and John, we're ready to call down fire right now. Right now. Let's call down fire right now. Let me show you something in Romans 2. Go with me over to Romans chapter 2. I believe this is something that every child of God ought to strive as hard as he or she can to remember. This is something I would love to remember. Romans 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God's patience was what led you to repentance?" He said, don't despise his patience towards sinners. We're so ready to call. Don't you see what they're doing? He said, you did it too. Don't you see how they're acting? He said, you acted that way too. And he said, don't despise his patience towards sinners. When is he just going to kill all these sinners? I'm just getting tired of sinners. He said, you are a sinner too. His patience, that's what saved you. That's what saved me. His patience. Look at Romans 9. Verse 22 says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience, much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." The wheat and the tares are mixed together. This is what he's saying. The wheat and the tares are all mixed together. And God is patient with the tares so he can have mercy on the wheat. So that's the first way that we see that the Lord's patience is salvation. His long suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right, now turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 40. This is the second way that we see salvation in his patience. This whole chapter, Psalm 40, the whole chapter is our Lord speaking. This is our Lord speaking. Verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." This is Christ speaking. And this is him speaking from the grave. On the cross, headed to the grave, bearing the sin of his people in his body. In verse 12, he said, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold on me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me." He said, my body died. My heart stopped because of the sin, bearing the sin of my people. Verse 16, he said, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." He said, "Father, let all your people rejoice when they see this. Let them all rejoice when they see this salvation. After 3 days of bearing wrath that could never be described for the sin of his people. He said in verse 1, after 3 days, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, enduring something that no human being could endure for a fraction of a second. He endured it for 3 days. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He cried to his Father. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. And in verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. His patience in enduring the punishment and the penalty for sin, that was our salvation. He endured it patiently. His patience with us before our repentance, him being long-suffering toward us, that was our salvation. Seeing his patience through the cross and in the grave, that is our salvation. And here's the third way. Turn with me, if you would, to Hosea chapter 1. It's 11:26 in my Bible. It's after Daniel. You have Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. While you're turning there, let me quote this verse of Scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love suffereth long. It suffers long. It's patient. It is not easily provoked. It is not easily provoked. David said in Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is slow to anger. He's patient. He's patient. All right, look at Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. He married her, this woman, who I don't need to describe. He married her. They were joined together in a union with each other. They had children together. He was her husband. She was his wife. All right, chapter 2, verse 2 says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. She was unfaithful to him. She was unfaithful to him. She knew he was her husband. This is the part I want to emphasize. She knew already. She already knew he was her husband. But she was still unfaithful to him. They were joined. They were in a union. But she was still unfaithful to him. Now, how patient has the Lord been with us all the days of our life up to this moment right now? How patient has the Lord been with us? We know that we have been joined together into a union with him. We know that. We know that. But it's like we spend our time chasing everything but Him. We continually do the same thing to our Lord that Gomer did to Hosea. We do it daily. It's continual. But look how he treated her. While she was running after all of these others, going on after all of these others, verse 8 says, she had no idea, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold which they prepared for Baal. She's running around. She comes home, and there's corn on the door and some money on the door. And she thinks, that's my friends that I'm committing all this with. My friends take care of me. That's why I'm running with the world. The world takes care of me. The world provides what I need. It gives me corn. It gives me wine. It gives me money. And she's running all over the place. He said she had no idea I was the one setting corn. I was the one setting wine. And I took care of her all of her days. She was unfaithful to me, but I never stopped being faithful to her. Never. Never. He supplied her with all of her need. And he went on to say, I'm going to open her eyes to the wickedness of her ways. He said that in this chapter. I'm going to open her eyes to this. But through that, he said in verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And he said down in verse 23, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Is his patience not absolutely beautiful? It is so beautiful. In spite of all the sin that we continually commit against him, continually, in spite of the fact that our affection is constantly on other things, constantly, in spite of the fact that our thoughts and our priorities are constantly somewhere else, he still has not left us. He has not left us. He will not leave us. He has not put us away in anger. He is still feeding us, still to this moment in time. He's feeding us, comforting us, supplying all of our need. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. It is salvation. It's easy to see why patience is a fruit of His Spirit. It's very easy to see why. When His Spirit comes to a sinner, His patience towards us, when a sinner sees it, understands it, enters into it, that sinner wants to be patient just like Him. His patience towards us makes us want to be patient with each other. Patience. And He said in His Word, be that. Be patient. Be patient. He said, let patience have her perfect work. Be patient with each other. In life, in the gospel. He said, this is how you are to declare the gospel. This is how you're to preach the gospel to people. This is the manner you are to preach the gospel. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Do it. Be patient with people. That's what he said. Be patient with people. God is. God is. Be patient with them. Preach the word with all long suffering and with doctrine. Revelation 3 verse 10 calls this Bible the word of his patience. the word of his patience. So let's close with this final word of exhortation. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore." And if you have the center margin, you see that it says long patient. Be long patient. Or suffer with long patience. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." I believe there is going to be a latter rain. This is just me speaking. This is just my heart. I honestly believe that there is going to be a latter rain. I believe that the Lord is going to rain on his vineyard and produce fruit. I do. And he's waiting patiently for it. He's waiting for the first and last rain. Every rain and every batch of fruit that he's going to bring in. So verse 8 says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Just be patient. Just be patient and wait. It's coming. It's coming. May the Lord help us to be patient. All right, let's all stand together.